Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DeathOverOdds.com anime and manga podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by Split Reason. Split Reason has a bunch of geek and gamer themed clothing, like t-shirts and such, and they're all really awesome and really great prices too. So please, head on over to Split Reason, click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banners on the site, and go check out awesome geek and gamer themed clothing. Split Reason. Split Reason.
Well, Split Reason.
Quite. So we also have our own geeky clothing things. So please, head on over to deathstoreprods.com/store and check out some of that stuff. As always, we are constantly accepting new design ideas and art and such, if you have any and you want us to have it. So please, head on over. So please, if you have any ideas or art, send them to bovywan@deathstoreprods.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If we like it, if you submit some art and we like it and we use it, we'll be able to pay you based on what other products that art on it sell. If you have a design idea, we'd love to hear from you, but unfortunately, we can't pay you if we use it. We can credit you, but we can't pay you. It's business stuffs. So once again, send that shit to bovywan@deathstoreprods.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. Also, it is that time of year again. Death Store Prods is doing Extra Life. For those who don't know, Extra Life is a yearly charity event, which this year will be held on November 2nd from 8 a.m. to 8 a.m., or if you can't do it then, whenever you are able to do it. And it is a 24-hour gaming marathon. So this year, all the proceeds donated go directly to the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals that we're supporting. And this year, we are supporting the Sick Kids Foundation in Toronto. And all donations are tax-deductible. So please, go to deathstoreprods.com/extra-life. That is deathstoreprods.com/extra-life. There's a big banner at the bottom of the page you can click and take you right there. And please, donate. Or if you can't donate, join the team and help us raise some money to help save some kids' lives. Again, that is deathstoreprods.com/extra-life. I'm your host, The Dead Man, and I'm also recording this one, which I haven't done in a while. So, sorry if the audio sounds all messed up. I jump in today, as always, we have Pudgetron.
Yeah, hi.
Bovywan's...
Don't know what the hell I just said.
Guy.
Yeah.
It sounded like you were trying to be Australian, but like failed halfway through.
What would...
You know, Australian say g'day.
Greeting starts with gya.
G'day. You could have been going for g'day and then just went, oh wait, I'm not Australian, so g'hi. Or it could have been like channeling Professor Frank. G'hi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I'm an idiot. Shut up. So yeah. Anime.
Yeah.
Yeah, just for the shit of it, since I actually have stuff to talk about that I haven't talked about before, I'll go first. So,
all right.
I watched Gargantua on the Verger's Planet.
Oh, yeah?
It was fucking awesome. So, for those who don't know what the series is, it is a new series. I think it's only 6 episodes in so far.
Yeah, it's this past season.
Yeah.
It started the spring season.
Yeah, it started this anime season, and it is really good. So, before I get into, like, I'm just going to go over some... So, just go over the basic plot. So, a humanoid scub coral in a Gundam that looks like a Metabot goes through a wormhole and ends up on Waterworld. That's basically the anime. And it is awesome. So... Those are something I've seen, because there are a lot of elements that I saw in this that looked very similar to other things from other anime. So the actual idea of it is that, like, so in the future, Earth has got fucked. Like the
As it
like,
does.
Yeah, like the world froze over and turned into basically a giant ice cube. And so in order to, you know, save some part of humanity, they go off into space. And form an entirely military race. They have, like, formed this weird space station thing in the middle of space called Avalon. And, like, only people who are, like, healthy and able to fight in the war are allowed to live. Like, everyone else is killed. And the war they are fighting is against the Hideaus. This weird race of flower squid things. Which, you know, we'll give them credit for, you know, flower squid things aren't something you see every day. And so the soldiers who are in this, they are, like, constantly plugged into their giant robots, which they call, I think, machine calibers. Our main hero, like our main and protagonist, Ensign Leto, pilots the machine caliber called Chamber. And so they're fighting the Hideos, but they fail horribly. And everyone on their squad dies. And so Leto's about to be left behind by the ship, which is about to like jump through a wormhole. So Leto goes to try to grab onto it. He does, but ends up losing control and gets flung off into space. So then 6 months pass, during which he's unconscious, and he's found at the bottom of the ocean by people on Earth. But you don't know it's Earth yet, so shh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then... Yes, then he gets out and then he starts like becoming part of the population while trying to find a way to contact the Humanity Alliance or whatever the fuck it's called. And the rest of the series is kind of just Leto not understanding basic human life because he's a soldier who's done nothing but fight, and anytime he's not fighting, he's unconscious. Like, I'm pretty sure before this point, he'd never been outside of his robot. Which is kind of a iffy thing to do to your soldiers. You know, like there's actually a point in the series when someone asks, like, hey, so you're always fighting. What if you win? What do you do then? It's like, well, I go on standby. It's, okay, but then what do you do on standby? I'm on standby. So yeah, he just crashes on this world. Now the Earth, it turns out, has melted and flooded. So now the entire world is like covered in water. Everyone lives on colonies of ships. And they have mechs. But they're not like, you know, mechs. They're like the power loader from Aliens.
Hmm.
Only a bit more all-encompassing.
And they're looking for dry land. And...
Not actually. They actually aren't. But it's very much Waterworld. Like pretty much the only thing they're missing are mutants and Kevin Costner. Which I guess Kevin Costner could be grouped into that thing, too. Because Kevin Costner, he's no human.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, in this world, land is... Like, in Waterworld, land is a myth. People don't actually believe that there was ever such a thing as land. Because for as long as they've been alive, they have known nothing but water. And there are pirates. But yeah, this series is really great. This is a really great series because... Even with, like, their whole mech thing, it's not an action series. It's not a battle series. It is just a series about... A guy trying to deal with life in a culture that he doesn't understand and trying to get home. And it's really good that way. Like, Leto, how do I describe him? He is kind of a blank slate in terms of personality. Because he, like I said, he is from an entirely, like, war-based society. He doesn't have any concept other than fight and not die. And so just having him like given the chance to just be a person, he doesn't understand what that means. So this is what the series is. It's him learning to be a person, I guess. And to help out, he has basically every anime female protagonist ever.
Hmm.
He has this girl with him who has a small little cute animal sidekick who is just there to try to help him figure out how to be a person. But the quirk with her is that she is a delivery person who flies with jet backpacks. Flies with hang glider backpacks. Which, that's actually one of the really cool things with this world is just seeing how like the world has changed in terms of like how things are done. Like, it's still like pretty basic stuff. Like, people are, there's salvagers, there's like mechanics, there's chefs, there are crazy old people, there are transvestite hookers. I'm not even kidding. And yeah, so the delivery service is the one that's like changed the most, I guess, because instead of just being on like a bike or something, you are flying, which is actually kind of cool. And so like for the first 6 episodes, Leto has been kind of just trying to figure out if like what he can do for a job, because his robot has been doing most of the job, because his robot is actually like its own character. And his robot's hilarious. Because he just, like, deadpan everything. Like Leto, he reacts to some stuff. But Chamber is just straight man everything. And at one point, he uses him as a grill. And so he just, like, constantly repeating, it's like, query, why? What is the purpose of this? Repeat query, what is the purpose of this? Just over and over again, and nobody answers him. And so he just spends the entire episode laying face down, like, half in, like, half underwater, just so people can cook on him, because the grill they have has no power. Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, I don't think the series would be as... I don't think I would like the series as much as I do now if it was all just action. Like, the fact... Like, so far, there have only been, like, two action scenes in this entire show. Like, the fact... Like, the first, like, initial action scene of like, them fighting the Hidales, and the second action scene of Leto fighting off the pirates. And that lasted, like, lasted 5 minutes out of, like, the 23-minute episode. So, barely, like... just over a quarter of the episode was only action. The rest of it was just regular character development. And that is the strength of this show. Like, the characters, while they're not exactly, you know, the most original of archetypes, they are really great in terms of just character. Like, I really like them as people. And we've been slowly learning a bit about the history of, you know, the human, like, human alliance up in space and how they deal with things. And it turns out Leto was once a person. And we learned that through a bone flute that he made with a laser gun, because he has a laser gun.
Oh yeah, you need to have a sidearm.
Oh yeah, totally. And is there's also a guy straight out of the 1950s, like he looks like Cid from Final Fantasy. He is just like
there
blonde
are a lot
hair.
Of Cids.
Yeah, he has just fucking blonde hair, goggles, blue shirt, overalls, constantly slicking his hair back. He's like Cid, brought to you by Grease.
Hmm.
And he's also shiftless and work shy, which I can respect. Yeah. So the story and stuff is great, but the animation is actually really fantastic in this show too. The best part of it, I guess. The most bizarre part for me, I guess, would be the fact that they actually do a fairly decent job of integrating the CG stuff into the animation, like regular hand-drawn stuff. Usually in anime, whenever they have CG in it, the CG always looks horribly out of place for me. Like I'm just with some things when we watched the AKB show. Like when we did that. That show was shit, and a big part of it was the fact that the CG looked horrible and nothing like the rest of the anime. But with this,
the show was horrible.
The show was horrible too. But that was a contributing factor to the show being horrible. So yeah. Anyway, with this show, the guys, you can clearly tell that it is CG, but it's CG done in the similar style of the rest of the anime. So it's all like shaded, it's all shaded properly and lighted exactly right, and everything looks really great. And actually, interesting thing with the shading in this show is that with the shading, all the characters they relatively have the same amount of shadow on most of their face, but it gets like lighter as you go toward like the light source. So it's kind of reverse shading, I guess, where all the characters are like. Just hit my mic. So while the characters have like regular looks to them, but then if they get like bright light, then like part of them will go a bit brighter or like almost pure white. I have just like reflection off of it. And it's a style that I really like. But they still do have like typical shading stuff if they go into one of the more darker areas, like the weird subterranean tunnel that has the transvestite hookers in it.
Subterranean tunnel in a water world? You're using the wrong terminology.
When I say subterranean, I just mean below foot level. Below the main level. It's the basement. It is the red the really seedy district in this fucking water colony is the basement of the ship, basically. Which I call subterranean, because fuck all of you. This is the only Earth they've known, so it's technically subterranean.
The lower decks of the ship.
Lower decks of the ship, yeah, where it's really
seedy. I will be nitpicky about these things.
It's really seedy, no one ever goes. And, like, the transvestite hookers, they are desperate. And I can't tell what they're desperate about. I can't tell if they just want the D or they want this guy to work with them. Because they first show up, it's like, oh, you're looking for a party boy? And he starts, like, trying to run away, and they start chasing him down, they're screaming, it's like, you got a party mouth! Please work with us! And there's actually a line. I'm not just doing my regular creeper like noises. He actually did say he has a very pretty mouth.
They're trying to recruit him, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. But they didn't start out like that. They started out wanting to fuck him. Because they need the money.
Well, yeah, that's what hookers do.
Oh.
They proposition.
Yeah, those three hookers were kind of out of place. Like, in terms of the tone, they fit, I guess, but in terms of the actual world they have, they felt a bit out of place. But overall, this show is absolutely fantastic. If you haven't seen the show yet, I would definitely recommend it. It is, after weeks and weeks and weeks of reading nothing but shit, seeing something this awesome is such a relief. So definitely, if you get a chance, check it out. It's on Crunchyroll now. So please, check out Gargantua on the Verdurous Planet. It's fucking awesome. So then moving on to my second thing that I saw, that I read. This one I read, yes. Apocalypse No Tori Day. It's zombies. But different kind of zombies than we're used to. These zombies have a leader who has air powers because of lung capacity. Yeah, so here's the story of the show. Here's the story of the series. So there's this kid. I have his name written down somewhere. Here, just give me a second. Yes, there's this kid named Maeda. So Maeda is a criminal, apparently. He supposedly did some really horrible thing, like killed a guy. And he was sent to this prison for it, which is kind of like a school. Where they call it like the Shoron Academy, I think. The Shoran Academy, and I'm not entirely sure how the prison actually works. But there are a bunch of cells in this thing, and each cell has four prisoners inside it. So Maeda comes along and gets them put in cell number four, the most hated cell in the entire prison.
They just hate the people in the cell automatically? Or
they just hate the people in cell four. Like, everyone in the prison hates cell four.
It's just sort of an arbitrary decision, giving everybody a common enemy?
No, I think, like, the three people that were already inside Cell 4 were already hated, so they decided anyone who was put into Cell 4, they automatically hate, I guess.
Ah, okay.
They hate Maeda by association. Yeah, so he has four guys in there. There's Yoshioka, who is some asshole with really long hair, who I guess is the friendliest right off of the bat of them all. Then there is Noiman, who is one of those assholes who has the glasses and, like, the bowl cut that he's always pushing the glasses up and saying he's smarter than everyone else. He's basically, like, that Christ fucker from Angel Beats. Only, you know, killer. Takayama. I keep forgetting his name! They don't actually say it that much. They just say, hey, asshole, do this thing. And he says, please, call me Christ. But yeah, and then there's also Iwakura, who is just a big fucker. And then zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, only these zombies are a bit different because they are, you know, strong and able to run and stuff, and they have a kind of hive mind mentality to them. And they're able to talk, too. They're able to barely talk. So, yes, like, what happens is a, like, security van that they have just crashes in the middle of the field where they're all running laps, and then a couple dead dudes come out and start eating people. And so then the three guys from Cell 4, who aren't Maeda because Maida's a bitch, they kill them all. And then they take the security van and drive out into, like, the wilderness to try to find Maida's family, because while they are all murderous assholes, they're all good guys too, I guess. And so once they go out there, they see all the zombies conglomerating into a giant mountain of zombies that are able to move around as one being. They basically create Crippletron of zombies.
Yeah, they're a zombie megazord.
Yeah, basically. And on top of it all is this naked guy with no junk and three pupils in each of his eyes. So Maeda runs out. Envy wouldn't. This guy, he doesn't talk that much, so he's obviously not Envy.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, so this guy, Somata runs out, like, shoots him, and then as soon as he, like, drops, all the zombies go into, like, 28 days later mode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then as it turns out, this guy actually controls zombies with subsonic and supersonic sounds. Because when you turn into a zombie, your hearing, your ears change, so you're able to like, perceive subsonic and supersonic sounds that humans can't. And that's how he controls them all. And we eventually learn that this thing is some kind of, like, zombie queen thing, and he's able to, like, inflate his entire body with, like, for lung capacity to the point where it's, like, the size of two Mii's. And then fire it out one concussive blast, like, knock people out and cause their ears to bleed, and, like, I think one guy might have, like, blown up his eyes.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then we eventually learn that the zombies are also evolving into these weird dog things.
Special infected.
Basically. Like, their bodies shrink up, their arms, like, collapse to the point where there's nothing, like, their elbow is basically their shoulder, and then, like, their faces fall off.
Huh.
And then they're able to run at, like, 60 miles an hour. Which is, you know, impressive.
See, to me, this seems to start... is playing out like a Resident Evil game. Sort of. Like, it's a relatively normal situation. And then, zombies! Look at all these zombies! Look, there's the leader. Look how powerful he is. He kills a lot of people.
Well, he actually doesn't.
You start fighting more advanced zombies, and then fight zombie dogs.
Yeah, like, the thing is with this guy, he isn't actually he's not really a person. He just kind of is. Like, he has some. I think he has some weird obsession with Maida, and he is. Like when Maida shot him, I guess, like, some kind of connection happened, because the guy started repeating that guy's name over and over again. And there is no real goal for these guys. They just kind of are. The zombie thing just kind of happened, and we don't really know the state of the world, like, what... It's just kind of... It all kind of, like, centered around these four guys and their prison, which has been taken over by the inmates, and... specifically be taken over by an inmate who can see 2 seconds into the future. Like, actually, to see 2 seconds into the future.
Hmm.
Because of a car accident.
Well, naturally. Yeah.
As we all know, car accidents cause superpowers.
Yep.
Yes, remember, kids, when you're driving down the 401, if you're in Canada, and your dad is kind of dozing off a bit, just grab the steering wheel and steer right into the oncoming lane. You'll totally get superpowers.
Superpowers.
Someone's gonna sue me.
This third person's not responsible for any accidents caused.
Yes. If you're retarded enough to try this at home, don't come crying to us. So yeah, that's... It's actually a pretty good series. Like, I went in this expecting, like, a High School of the Dead or, like, a Cradle of Monsters. Where it's relatively regular people, and then, oh shit, zombies, let's all go crazy. But no, these people were kind of already crazy, and now they're in a situation where their craziness can't even save, now they're in a situation where they're basically normal.
Hmm.
Like that, and we actually start, like, learning a bit more backstory with all the different people, and it's actually kind of cool just seeing all these guys. Like, there's this one really great scene where Yoshioka, he is visiting his, like, family's arcade that his mom used to run before he, you know, became a criminal. And so he's just sitting there playing, playing his pinball machine that he was, like, high score on. And then all the guys just, like, you know what, just, you chill. We'll deal with the zombies. You just chill out. Like, have a good time. Then we'll get in the road. And so you just see, like, all three of them just sitting over a pile of corpses, like, hey, I got a new high score. And even though they are, like, insane, like, murderer people, they are still, like, they actually do have some kind of connection to each other because of Cell 4, I guess. And they do work well together, I think. Like, even Maida, being a little bitch, he managed to hold his own against zombies. And the zombies, they actually do have a pretty... You can easily tell they're zombies, but they all have their own look. Like, their eyes are almost, like, popping out of their heads. They have huge veins everywhere. One of them is like a sprinter. Like, we actually see another guy's like sprint up the giant mountain of dead bodies and launch himself over the walls into the prison, which is hilarious just to watch it. Mm. Because like when the zombies are running, they have this insanely fluid thing, like they're the boobs from High School of the Dead.
Oh.
Yeah, so it looks like his arm. So like when he's sprinting, it looks like his arm is like curving into a perfect U. Like he just launches himself into the air and just crashes right through the window. He's like, "Hey guys, blah, blah." And it's awesome. And the zombies, they are able to pull off some really, really impressive stuff. Like at one point in the series, the series, just letting you guys know, I think it's only 15 chapters in, with a pretty, you know, sporadic release date. So if you want to get in, you can. There's not a whole lot of backstory to get into for this, but so at one point in the series, after they find out about the dogs, they meet a guy who has a son who's a zombie, but the guy's like in hardcore denial that his son's a zombie. And so they take him back to the prison with the zombie kid, and the dad is trying to feed the zombie kid while picking maggots out of his eyes with tweezers. And then the rest of the prisoners come along, "Hey, cell 4, you guys are assholes, we're gonna kill you now." And then the kid goes fucking nuts. And he's, like, jumping all over the place. He's, like, ripping dudes' heads off. He's crushing people's, like, entire bodies with his fucking feet, even though those feet are, like, an inch, like 2 inches long because he's, you know, 5. And it's really impressive. And, yeah, the series is nothing new in terms of zombie stuff. Like, if you've seen any kind of zombie thing ever, you've seen a story like this. But for me, it does enough, like, interesting things to keep it, well, interesting. And I actually just, it would, like, I feel like the series would have been better if they had just stuck with the Maida is innocent plot, because that's his entire thing. It was that he was sent here because of murder. He was accused and tried of murder, but he never actually murdered anybody. I'm pretty sure it was a zombie that did it. But at this point, the people didn't know zombies were out there, so you're just like, okay, I'm going to jail. So he was going to jail, and I feel like if they had just had a focus on that storyline of trying to figure out who killed this guy with Maida trying to prove his innocence, that might have been a better story. But they gave us a zombie story, and it's a pretty decent zombie story.
Well, anyway, there you go.
Yeah. So, Apocalypse No 30 Day. If you're into zombie stuff, I'd recommend checking it out. If you're not that into zombie stuff, it could be worth your time, but probably not. So anyway, Pudge, what have you been reading and or watching?
Well, let's start with, I suppose, the weakest of the three I'm going to be talking about, I guess. But it's called Wrestle the Underground.
So is it like Wrestle : the Underground, or like
Wrestle exclamation mark the Underground. Okay. So, okay. Wrestle the Underground.
So it's not like you're wrestling the Underground.
No.
You are wrestling and you're in the Underground.
I guess. There's not really a whole lot of wrestling going on in the manga, actually.
I mean, just from the implication of the title.
Yes.
Which I feel like it would have been, I feel like the series would have been better if you had actually been wrestling the Underground. You know, you're like a guy like suplexing the like fucking subway in London, or like fighting dudes, like fighting just like mole people. But nope, it's just wrestling in your underground. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the story is set as such. The gigant, they don't give a pronunciation. Gigant could be either one.
If it had any of the end, it could have been Gigante.
Yeah, it could have been, but it's not. So,
I can keep calling him the Gigante. Gigante.
The Gigant organization is basically, well, it's an assassin's group. Basically, they take care of the less savory jobs in society.
Okay.
And one of their most recent, I suppose, recruit, not most recent, their newest sort of prodigy, I guess, who's up and coming through the ranks, is sent out on a mission to kill a high school girl.
Of course. Does the high school girl kill him?
He's the main character of the story.
I didn't know. You didn't say that. It could have been about just a high school of serial killers that were like awesome and amazing. That was constantly being targeted by every single assassin organization in the world. You didn't tell me anything about the series.
Well, if you would shut up. But anyway, he goes to pose as a high school student because he's still young enough to do that and kill this girl after investigating her and yada, yada, yada. You know, normal assassin stuff. And
scope your target.
Yeah.
Case the joint. Then kill the janitor and go up dressed like him, then garrote him and leave.
But there is a weird sort of thing tacked on to the mission is after he killed her, he had to see what was under her panties. It makes sense later in the series.
Okay, I was gonna say, like, is this gonna be some really weird, like, pseudo hentai series?
Well, sort of, yes, but
oh god,
not really for the reason you're thinking of.
Okay, good, because I'm pretty sure that's just illegal, even in Japan.
Okay. But yeah, it. Well, long story short, I guess he confronts her and fails to kill her, and so, and Gigant has been having a monitor on him. It's his first assassination mission. Mm-hmm. And so they had a monitor sort of watching over him, and she shows up and tries to kill him, and then this girl is unexpectedly skillful in the martial arts, so she helps out trying to fend off this guy, girl, who's, you know, come to kill our main character for failing his mission. And eventually they escape, and so on and so forth. And he ends up as her bodyguard due to various reasons.
He either ended up as a boyfriend or a bodyguard.
Well, sort of both. Of course. As it turns out, she's sort of a... It's an ancient kingdom, but, you know, she's the last remaining descendant of the royal bloodline. And that's why they wanted her dead. And
yeah, of course.
There was a... And she holds a power inside her that gives her, well, super strength, and
that's why they wanted to do it was under her panties.
Yes.
She has amazing vagina
the
powers.
Mark of that. And then through various events, our main character ends up with those powers, and as was foretold by the legends for the royal members, they basically hand over their powers to the one they choose to be their protector and future husband, traditionally.
Wait, that... Why would someone give up their only ability to protect themselves to someone who wouldn't always be there?
The point is that they'll always be there.
So they'll always be next to you no matter what you're doing. They'll always protect you from everything, ever.
Yep. That's sort of it.
They'll watch you sleep.
It's an ancient ritual.
Fucking ancient rituals. They have no logic.
Yeah. They do a lot of things from back then.
Yeah, back then was fucked up.
Yeah, but that's basically it. It's not too far in. It's 6 chapters in right now. With the sixth chapter, well, just came out a few days ago, actually, is how I got onto it. Because apparently the other chapters were all released on this site back in 2011. And then the sixth chapter just released.
So
on my completely legal scan site.
Completely legal manga site.com. Affiliated with completely legal downlink.com.
Mm-hmm. So
they're
either
fucking
it was
legal, okay? Just shut up.
And yeah, it... So either it was on hiatus or something, or this site's really just really slow.
Or the the mangaka is just... Like, the artist, like, he pumped out, like, five chapters really quickly and then just, like, suffered a heart attack or something. He's been on, like, recovery for the past 2 years.
Well, yes, that would generally be covered by hiatus.
Yeah. I get context for the hiatus. Because if you just say, I'm on hiatus, then all we know is you're on a break. It's not actually... There's no context behind the break.
But yes. So, the series is... It's a little rife with fan service.
I figured. Like, I'm guessing with this series, if he actually had killed that girl, there would have been a shaving scene.
Hmm.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm. But yes, there's lots of... The two female characters who've had speaking parts so far are both... fairly well endowed. And, you know, mistakes happen.
Yeah. It's a manga.
Faces end up where they're not supposed to be. Well, I shouldn't say not supposed to be, but... faces end up places unintentionally and, you know, manga stuff.
Yeah. It's like, oh no, I'm walking down the... It's like, I'm walking down the stairs and, oh no, I lost my footing, boobs.
Oh no, what a completely random happenstance.
Yeah. This totally won't be like someone will like played up in some kind of like preview page that will be available in certain volumes of a thing because money.
Yeah.
We're writing this series for the women. We want to have strong female characters who are independent from men.
But yeah, so it's entertaining. Honestly, it's not much else. It's fairly baseless. There is potential to turn the storyline into something a bit more... that takes itself a bit more serious.
Yeah, you'd think with super-powered assassin...
Mm-hmm.
That there'd at least be something like kind of serious there, or like something that's played up for laughs that isn't just, hey, beeps.
But yeah, that's kind of how it is, though. So, it could evolve into something better. But
yeah, like just calling back to something we checked out like in the past. No matter what qualms I have with that series, that one with the like super maid, like you know the one you picked it. It was I can't remember what it was actually called.
Oh, Kamen no Maid guy.
Kamen no Maid guy, like that one. If they had like gone like that kind of route, but you know, good. If they had made the like female protagonist not a total bitch, like that could be really cool. But it was just like they have that plot element there, but they just turned it into like a less interesting Tu Lovru.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
but yeah, so that was Wrestle the Underground. Next one is another pretty new one, actually, but this is has significantly more potential to go somewhere than the previous one, but it's honestly I have no word salad titles this time, which is nice. I'm just realizing that the third one's actually fairly simple, too.
Okay.
But this is called The Blue-Eye Material.
That is very...
The Blue-Eyed Material, or...
That is really simple.
Yeah.
I kind of miss the word salad. Just because it filled up like another 5 minutes of you just struggling to struggling to figure out how to actually pronounce a title.
Yeah, yeah, that's. I generally try and save those for writing when I don't have to embarrass myself doing that.
Yeah. With that, you only have to worry about numbering things twice.
Yeah. But anyway, the blue eye material, it's, so even after 1 month, after transferring to a new high school, Aoi is sort of antisocial. She, you know, does pretty much everything by herself, declines offers to go out and hang out with people, you know.
Yeah.
There's no real reason for it other than she's sort of curmudgeonly.
Oh, I can relate to this character.
But her childhood friend Haruka kind of tries to push her to be more sociable, but, you know, never works. She goes,
nyah! She's like, but I have things to do, important things with internet things.
And then, so one day, well, Aoi is skipping class and eating her lunch on the roof of the school. She, randomly from the sky, a sort of slime, a bluish slime, like material kind of falls from the sky.
Oh god, Dragon Quest is airbombing us.
Initially falling into her mouth and then sort of all everywhere else. It hits her mouth first. Oh yeah, girl.
That's how you do it.
Then the slime all across the roof kind of coalesces into a human girl. Human-looking girl, anyway, I guess. And, well, I suppose it bears mentioning their sort of kissing when they form, when the slime forms, because there's still the slime in her mouth, and the rest of the slime kind of goes to her. Forms in front of her, and then the slime comes out of the mouth, and then they're like, "Oh, girl's kissing."
Ew.
Exactly. Yeah. Gross.
No, like not the girl's kissing, like the just the everything else. That just seems really wrong. Why did I say wrong? I said really, really wrong. Why did I say wrong?
I don't know. Because you're stupid.
Sure, guy.
But anyway.
Thank you for listening to anime episode 43.
Guy. Guy. But basically, the slime explains the slime now in the form of a human girl explains the situation to her in that she's an alien. The slime, not Aoi.
That'd be hilarious. That's something I want to see. I want to see like a manga or an anime or something where like there's a normal human being like hanging out and then all of a sudden like an alien drops down from the sky and says, "Hey, you're an alien."
Yeah. You're an alien. Deal with it.
Yeah, it's like yeah, that just pieces. No explanation or anything, just, you're an alien. See ya. Goes back up into the sky.
Yeah, I realized when I was reading the synopsis that was written down, like, I thought Aoi was a bit weird, because Aoi's not the main character's name. Aoi is the one, is the name that she gives to the slime girl.
Huh.
Due to her blue eyes, though she'd never admit that. The main character's name's Natsuki.
Oh, I get the title now.
Yes. blue slime forms into a girl, blue eyes, and I think she has blue hair, but it's black and white. I can't really tell.
Wait, are the eyes blue, or does she actually say blue eyes? Does Natsuki say that she has blue eyes, or are like her eyes the only thing colored in the entire series?
No, it's stated that she has blue eyes. Although that would be an interesting effect to put in a manga at some point.
Yeah, just just go all Sin City on it.
Yeah. And blue's the only color you animate.
Yeah.
Or color, rather.
Yeah.
Animations, manga, that's a poor mix.
Yeah, and animating a color.
Yeah. But anyway, I digress. As the soon-to-be-named Aoi explains, she's a criminal. And the aliens have been using Earth as sort of their Australia.
Wait, so a good chunk of Earth's population are alien fugitives?
Yes. Not fugitives, no.
Okay, they're well, alien prisoners.
Yes.
Well, that's kind of interesting, actually.
Mm-hmm. So, part of her, Aoi's shtick is she sort of has anime hypnosis eyes, which is basically, mind control kind of deal. And due to the saliva transfer from the initial formation, Natsuki has the same power to a degree. And her childhood friend comes onto the roof at this point and goes, "That's where you are. Who's that girl? What the hell?" kind of deal. And, Natsuki panics and just kind of goes, "She's my sister."
And did she know about the mind control powers at this point?
Yeah, it's briefly talked about that. I think she at this point, Aoi actually tackles Haruka and goes hypnosis kind of thing on her, but the point is, it's the story they go with is their sisters.
And everyone believes them.
Well, they do.
Yeah, so is Natsuki's
Even
childhood...
their parents.
Yeah, of course. So is Natsuki's childhood friend a girl?
Yes.
That's new. It's not often, like whenever I hear about an anime or manga that has a childhood friend, it's usually someone of the opposite sex, because it's usually a romance thing. Not often do you hear like childhood friend status being given to someone of the same sex. You just say, "Hey, we've been friends forever."
Yeah. But yeah, I think they're kind of trying to lean towards the sort of girls lovey kind of stuff, though it's sort of very much hinted at this point. And
okay.
But that's sort of tangential to the actual story.
Yeah.
And so through the use of her newly discovered hypnosis powers, Natsuki convinces her parents that Aoi is their long lost daughter who, through complications at birth, she had to go to a foreign hospital for treatment of some disease.
That's why her everything is blue.
Because, yeah, I think they actually explain it as a side effect of the drugs that she was on. And it was actually a quite funny scene when they still hadn't decided on her name yet, when the parents are sort of talking back and forth, and there's just blanks where the sister, her name would be. And the Allie and Natsuki just kind of go, oh crap, we haven't given her a name yet. We didn't give her a name. We didn't give you a name.
Oh, balls.
How did we forget a name?
Oh, God.
But yeah,
that explains that is a good gag.
Yeah. And it explains more in detail how Earth is sort of the prison colony. And that there are multiple aliens who have been exiled there. And Aoi has committed some crime worthy of exile. Though,
She left the toilet seat up.
Yeah, maybe. You never know. Maybe that's capital offense.
Yeah, it's an alien species. We have no idea how their system of government or law or anything of theirs works. So, for all we know, like, just something really inane and innocuous for us. Like, I'll, like, spit out my gum on the sidewalk. Exiled.
Well, that's a very serious crime in Singapore.
No. Oh. Okay.
It is, really. Singapore is really stingy about their littering laws.
Okay, so I drape the toilet paper over instead of under. Exiled.
But yeah, it's going somewhere. There are multiple directions it could go, and I think I'd enjoy every single one of them.
Yeah, it sounds like a really cool series.
Yeah, it's fairly low-key. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of combat thing later on, say when they run into a particularly violent alien or something.
Yeah.
Who has been exiled there for more serious crimes. But yeah, I really enjoyed the first three chapters that are out at this point. And as of now, it has updated on a fairly regular basis. So that's good.
Okay, I'm going to check that thing. I gotta check this one out. It sounds really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's that.
Okay. Anything else?
Strong close there, Chris.
Hey.
Aye.
We don't use those names in these parts, boy.
But anyway, and I'll close with my strongest, in my opinion anyway. Sorry about that. One. And that's Sakura Sakura.
Okay.
Now, a fairly common theme in a lot of... Maybe not a theme. Theme's maybe wrong. A bad word. But a common thing that gets mentioned in anime and manga is sort of the declining birth rate of Japan. It comes up fairly often.
Not the things I read. I guess I don't read a lot of things set in, like, modern-day Japan.
Yeah, in, you know, sort of realism kind of stuff. But the point is...
Oh, wait, I think they might have mentioned something like that in Count Trouble, which is why they send angels down there to get people to fall in love.
Well, yeah.
It's like, oh, the birth rate to Japan is climbing, so send angels.
Yeah, I honestly haven't done the research, but apparently that's happening. So, 15 years before the start of the series, the birth rate of Japan pretty much dropped into, like, single digits.
Well, that sucks.
And these... And then dropped to nothing. Pretty much. There were no live births for, like, 15 years. And the single-digit births, pretty much, are referred to as last gen. Gen X, kind of
Last
stuff.
generation.
That's the name of their generation.
Okay. Wait, so has this like declining birth rate affected the rest of the world or only Japan?
It only seems to be Japan.
Okay.
So there hasn't been a great explanation of
So it's
why
not a
it
full
happened.
children of men situation yet.
No. But so the story opens up with Hanasuke Haru, who's one of the last gens, and he's starting high school for the first he's going to high school for the first time. And
Woo!
due to his last gen status, he's really never had any classmates ever
Okay.
before in his life. So he's thrilled. And so he's, happy-go-lucky, let's
Yay!
go,
Yay, high school! This is
yeah,
gonna be the best 4 years of my life!
meeting new people, yeah, let's go, yes,
Fucking
this is gonna
people!
be awesome, people my age,
I
yeah.
fucking love people!
And then he goes to his class and meets his one other classmate, Himeshiro Sakurako. And she's significantly more cynical about their situation.
So they're the odd couple.
Yeah. Kind of. I mean, eventually.
One of them's really happy-go-lucky and like really excited about everything, and one other one's just like fucking cynical as hell, just doesn't care about anything.
Yeah. She's convinced that they're being manipulated behind the scenes by the adults, and because they're treated as precious commodities rather than kids, because they're like the last kids since for 15 years.
The youngest
And I
people in
mean,
Japan.
there has been a new generation starting being born in the recent years, but they're very young, and there aren't too many of them. They're mentioned in passing called the New Gen.
These sound like mid-90s Marvel comic series.
Yes, now there it's fairly quickly revealed that they're being watched pretty much all the time. And to protect these precious kids, the last gen kids. And then it just gets darker.
Okay, actually, I just looked this up. There actually is a Marvel comic series called New Gen. It came out in 2008.
Well, there we go.
The fuck would name a series New Gen in 2008?
No.
Christ. It's about nanotech. It's about nanomachines.
It's it sort of develops into a 1984 Truman Show kind of feeling thing.
Wait, so the school is just like the school is being constantly monitored by everyone and it's like entertainment for them?
It's not entertainment per se. It's not so much that part of the Truman Show, but they're being watched all the time, and they're in a. It turns out that the area where the school is and where they live is a compound. Basically, it's an enclosed compound. Completely
Okay.
fenced off. Like 50 foot high fence. A chain link fence, though.
Okay.
So you can still conceivably climb over it.
It's probably electrified or something.
Yeah, probably.
Like you go to touch, you piss your pants.
And And there's a third classmate who shows up on the second day, who I'm convinced is an artificial human. Because for like the first few chapters she shows up, she doesn't say a word, and then she says rudimentary words, and then she speaks completely normal. She has, you know, superhuman athletic abilities. And
so, robot or test tube baby?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking test tube baby due to some recent events, but
okay.
You know, Ubermensch.
Yeah.
And, you know, the teachers at the school have to be insanely careful not to let them get hurt, or they get severely punished, and so on and so forth. It's fairly light and happy-go-lucky, and even the main character has some darkness inside him in recent chapters that they've shown. Like, and it turns out he knows a hell of a lot more than he lets on.
Okay, but happy-go-lucky and 1984
mm-hmm.
don't really go that well together.
Well, 1984 was just a controlled society. They're not necessarily... They could... In theory, I'm sure there were plenty of citizens in the 1984 world which were plenty happy with how things were going in their ignorance.
Yeah, I know, but it's like talking about it like from the perspective of what we know. You just think happy-go-lucky with someone monitoring your every single movement at all times, every single second of every day.
Well, yeah, to be fair, they're not exactly happy about it.
Hmm.
It just...
They get used to it.
Well, at first they sort of find ways to destroy cameras. Like when they go out for gym period, which is the two of them kicking a soccer ball around.
Yeah. You wouldn't have this problem if you had a view screen.
The Sakurako knocks a camera out of a tree.
So they're hiding these cameras?
Yeah, they're hiding them.
Okay, did they?
They're not like England style cameras where they're just on the streets and stuff. They're just it's supposed to be. And oh, right, I forgot to mention their homeroom teacher is Heiwajima Shizuo. I mean, like, not literally, but he is the spitting image.
It'd be so good if he was literally Heiwajima Shizuo. Bovi would flip balls if that actually happened. Like, for those who don't know, Bovi won cosplay Shizuo.
Yeah.
And, oh god, just... We need to tell him about this series.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Like, there's just, there are hidden depths everywhere. There's some history that I can't quite remember, but, you know, foreign occupation of Japan due to certain things and so on and so forth. And so there are foreign ministries with large pulls, and I think their homeroom teacher is like a Dutch diplomatic agent or some sort.
Okay. But
I think it's Dutch. But you should read it, honestly.
Yeah, I definitely will. Like the series you mentioned, I have a list of them going for just things I want to check out eventually. Well, I always forget I have.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Man, and then there are these... Children of the Corn, little kids.
Oh, God.
Who have shown up recently, and they seem to be the ones pulling the strings, and I was like, what?
So are these sort of like the Children of the Corn, like the new gens?
I don't know. We've caught glimpses of them, and they seem to be the ones controlling this project that's going on.
The new gens,
the last the old, gens, and
the new gens, one of the last gens to cater for their amusement, like dancing monkeys.
Alright.
The new gens are dicks. Yeah,
but it is very much not what it is initially. The series. It starts out a certain way. They sort of set the ground rules. You know, you don't really think it's too bad. You know, like, oh, that's kind of creepy, I guess. But sure, I get sure, fine. That's understandable, I guess. They don't want these kids getting hurt. They're, you know, the last generation before a 15-year birth drought. And then it just kind of goes, no, that's bad. Like, that's a lot darker than I thought it was going to be.
It's like, oh, hey, everything's fine and stuff. Then, okay.
Yeah, and there are hints that Haru is a lot more important of a person than he lets on, and he knows a hell of a lot more than he lets on to, and it's like, what are the characters? Characters everywhere. Bunch of good characters. That's one of the things I really like about it, too, is they keep it... It's a very small cast. I think there's 5 characters so far.
Okay.
2 of them are teachers.
Okay. By keeping things small like that, you know, like focus on more characters individually and have them, you know, actually experience some more development and growth over the series.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's done beautifully in this series. This has quickly become one of my regular series. I'm going to watch for it every single time, for every single chapter.
Okay.
It is
so high praise of Budgetron.
Yeah, it is. It has hidden depths and gray area, and if you've read some of my stuff, you know that I have a hard-on for gray area. Moral gray area.
Oh, yeah, that girl, show me that gray area.
Yeah, girl.
Okay, so what's the series called again?
Sakura.
Sakura, okay. So I'm definitely gonna take a look at that. Folks out there, fucking an girl from Punchatron for Sakura.
Yeah.
The highest possible praise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's the last one. I figured I'd save the best for last.
Okay. And yeah, it sounds really awesome. I'm definitely gonna be checking that out.
Yeah.
So, moving on to our next piece of news. Sorry, why did I say moving on to our next piece of news? Like, sorry, the Desert Poet reading then.
Did I black out for a second there? What?
Sorry, my brain jumped ahead. Sorry. The Desert Poet reading then. On to news. So, our first piece of news. So, in Square Enix's monthly Gangan Joker magazine, it announced that the manga version of Duskmane of Amnesia is set to end this June.
Which, honestly, it hasn't really been updating from what I've seen recently, so I'm sure it's sort of a... Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so the series will be ending in the July issue, which comes out on June 22nd, and it'll be ending alongside Tomo Yokoyama's Watashi no Ochi wa Hanyo-san. So, the series, for those who don't know, is set at a private academy that has a history of, like, hauntings by ghosts and stuff, including a girl named Yuko. She ends up being, like, connected in some way to this guy, Teichi Nia, who's the only person who can see her. And so, yeah, then hijinks ensue.
Hijinks?
I think we did Anime Club for this one.
Yeah, one of them.
Yeah, one of our early ones before our current and probably best format for it so far.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, anyway, that's going to be ending on June 22nd. So, if anyone out there is a fan of the manga or the anime, sorry. And then moving on to news that only I care about. On the official website for Shueisha's weekly Shonen Jump magazine, they announced that One Piece will be going on hiatus for the next two issues because the series writer and artist, Eiichiro Oda, has been checked into the hospital. So the creator, Oda, was hospitalized for peritonsillar abscess, which is a complication which causes a buildup of pus behind the tonsils that is, you know, commonly caused by tonsillitis.
Gross.
Yeah. So One Piece will not be serialized in the magazine issues that ship on May 27th and June 3rd, with the manga expected to return on June 10th. So yeah. That is unfortunate. Because they're kind of in the middle of a really cool story arc right now. That will lead to the possibility of Luffy being a rubber man who can set himself on fire.
Huh.
Yeah. The series is going places, man.
As opposed to a fire-breathing guy who can set himself on lightning.
Exactly. It's totally different.
References.
Yeah, because see, lightning doesn't work on rubber. It just causes him to bite his lower lip and just stare at you. More references that no one will get. Seriously, coming soon, Anime Club, One Piece. But yeah. So we have no more news, so I guess that's going to be it for this week.
Woo! Mm-hmm.
Woo! So, thank you all for joining us. This episode's turned out pretty good, I think. It's pretty good. Yeah, so, as always, you can follow us on Site Hunter. You can follow us at Desto Parades. While he is not here, you can follow Bovion at Bovion, and Pleasuretron does not believe in Twitter. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/DestoParades. Subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/DestoProdsVids for myself, youtube.com/Bovion for Bovion, and Pleasuretron does not upload videos to YouTube. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us some reviews. Let us know what you want to see more of, etc. And we are also on Stitcher. Download the app and check us out on there. And finally, we are on DeviantArt. So please go to dustoprods.deviantart.com to check out cosplay photos, which we'll be posting a lot more of over the coming weeks because Anime North is this weekend. Woo!
Woo!
So this week on the website, there will be no anything cast this Sunday because myself, Bovion, Ninja Kitty, as well as some other people who have appeared over the site over the past few months, we'll be heading to Anime North this weekend in Toronto. This convention runs from May 24th to the 26th. I'll probably be tweeting stuff about where we'll be if you guys are going and you want to meet us or something. I don't know why you would, but if you do. But if you want an educator, we'll be holding a bunch of like cosplay events there, so you'll be able to find them there. I'll just be there being out of place. You know, my regular territory. But yeah, so then next week will be the comic book podcast on Wednesday and the movies podcast on Friday, as well as the commentary track for The Hitcher, which will be wrapping up Platinum Dunes Month. And this Friday will be the commentary track for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. God, that movie was bad. Also, same day this goes up, Thursday, we should be hosting the Anime Club for episodes 7 and 8 of Angel Beats. The series has hit the point. It's hit the key point.
Booch.
Yeah, so...
Because it's like... It's key. So
Aimless Wanderer is coming up this week. And hopefully a personal issue's next week. I posted one last week, so maybe I'll post another one next week. I know! But yeah. Until all that stuff. I'm the Dead Man.
And I'm Budget.
We'll see you guys next time.